That's the great question. If God exists, and God is all good, and if God is the governor and order of the universe, why is the universe such a mess? Why is there so much evil in the world? May I say this? That's a very serious argument. In fact, I think the only serious argument against God's existence. Here's how Thomas Aquinas put it. If one of two contraries be infinite, the other would be destroyed. If there's infinite heat, there'd be no cold, right? But God is described as the infinitely good. Okay. Then how come there's evil? Wouldn't the infinite good have simply eliminated evil? Here's the way John Stuart Mill put it, many centuries after Aquinas. If there's evil, God cannot be simultaneously all-knowing, all-loving, and all-powerful. If he's all-knowing, he'd know about it, right? He'd know about evil. If he's all-loving, he'd want to do something about it. He's all-powerful, he could do something about it. Therefore, there wouldn't be any evil. If there's evil, there might be a God, but we got to give up on his omniscience, or on his omnipotence, or on his omnibenevolence. That, too, is a very good argument. And I would say most people who struggle with evil and suffering wouldn't be able to articulate it that way philosophically, but they feel it. They feel the truth of that. That the goodness of God seems to be opposed to the evil in the world. So how do we get at that? In some ways, all of theology is an attempt to respond to that question. All of theology and all of its branches is meant to respond to that question. Here's just one way at it. Thomas Aquinas typically describes God, and he's following the Bible here, as an artist. God is like an artist. What's his canvas? All of space and all of time. We see a little tiny corner of God's canvas, but what he's working with is all of space and all of time, the whole of creation. What's he making? He's making something beautiful. Now, beautiful paintings, beautiful sculptures, beautiful novels, beautiful films involve, typically, a play of dark and light. You know, it's the rhythm between dark and light that often makes the play or the movie or the painting powerful. The play of shadow and illumination. So Aquinas says, God in his great work of art permits evil. And there's the key thing. God doesn't cause evil. Because evil is not a thing. Rather, it's a lack. It's a privation of being, says Aquinas. When you have a toothache, it means there's something that's lacking, something missing in the health of your tooth. Someone who's blind, there's something that's missing in their ocular apparatus, right? So all evil has that form. Therefore, God is not causing evil, but God permits evil. Why? So as to bring about a greater good. So as to produce, in a way that we can't see clearly, to produce a more beautiful canvas, a more beautiful sculpture, a more beautiful novel. In fact, it's Dante who compares all of creation to a great book. At the end of time, when we're in heaven looking into the face of God, we will see all of creation like a great book. It'll make coherent sense. But in the course of this life, what do we see? Maybe one part of one paragraph of the whole story. And that's why so often the world as we experience it doesn't make sense. That's why the book of Job is so important in the Old Testament. Job, who suffers in a way that no one else has ever suffered, right? He loses his wife and his family, his kids, his livestock, everything. But he knows he's righteous. He knows he doesn't deserve this suffering, and so he complains to God, he cries out to God, the way an awful lot of people over the ages have and still do today. God answers him by taking him on a tour of the cosmos. He takes Job up out of himself and takes him on this elaborate tour of the cosmos. And he asks over and over again, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Where were you when I arranged the planets and stars? Where were you when I told the dawn, told the sun where to rise and so on? The point is, he's bringing Job into an ever wider horizon. so Job might see his own suffering within a much wider cosmic context. That's the way I think typically the church has tried to explain the problem of suffering.